Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and of course, it's Arts Quincy Wednesday right here, powered, as always, by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Pick up your delicious cup of Harvest Ridge when you're out and about today from your favorite local convenience store. Laura Siebert is here, and go Iowa women.
How about those Hawkeyes?
Caitlin Clark, do you think she should play in this boys' three-on-three basketball league? $5 million. She'd have to work.
I think she should get paid.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting conundrum for her because the WNBA doesn't like this league, and they don't want her to do it. However, I mean, she'd have to work 10 years in the WNBA to make that kind of money. Well, they just don't have that kind of money.
I was going
to
say,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, I'm going to give up a chance to play 10 games for $5 million. I mean,
well, I think what it really does is shines a light on the discrepancy in pay between the two leagues. You know, I think there's a certainly... Oh, I love talking sports. I think there's certainly the argument now that you know, the highest paid people in the WNBA are just not even close to the lowest paid people.
Yeah,
in the,
minimum
in the
wage
NBA.
In the NBA
right.
is far so, far above.
So
but you could also make the argument, Laura, that maybe she could, but nobody else has been able to fill the seats or bring in that kind of revenue.
That's what's next.
Well,
that's
just it. It's. Should we reward her for what she potentially can do, or should she just go along with what is now the standard? Because
well, there's some issues across the board in that. So take our two coaches, for example. Fran Rucaffrey is our men's coach, and Lisa Bluter. Lisa Bluter's been there since I was in the band, so it's been a minute. Fran makes double what Lisa makes, and Lisa's been to the Final Four twice, and Lisa's filling the stadium better than the men. So there's some, you know, systemic issues through the entire thing.
Now, that is a perfect example of where somebody could probably push forward.
She probably
However,
could.
You know, well...
She never talks about it,
it's
though.
Like, well,
you.
And it's like everybody else. You know, how much can you push? Because Iowa could say, you know what, in some ways we agree with you, but we don't have that in the budget. So we're sorry, take your $300,000 and go elsewhere. And maybe
I've been
somebody
to a couple Iowa games this year. I bet the budget has gone up.
I bet it has too.
But I want to talk about, before we leave the Iowa topic, how about that band having a great time out there? you know, listeners to the show will know I am a Hawkeye marching band alum, but was in the pep band. And, you know, it makes me think about my kid starting trumpet right now and all experiences that he might have. And you know, there's this inflection point in like the junior high age where kids quit their instruments, and I always think, boy, stick it out, there's something awesome waiting for you. One of the things Arts Quincy has done this year is actually worked with the schools at the inflection point. We provided it's just a pilot program. We had 8 students that their teachers considered in danger of stopping their instrument, and we gave them 5 free after school music lessons funded by Arts Quincy. And so far, none of them have quit the instruments that they're on. A lot of times, it just was a matter of getting them caught up to their classmates. Maybe they got behind. Maybe they weren't understanding something in class time. And that little extra attention has been a huge change for them. So, you know, when I think about the success of the basketball teams and, you know, when the football team has success and all those things, I think that band's out there cheering them on, no matter how many people are in the stands. Because when I played for the women's tournament, I was at Lisa Bluter's first tournament, NCAA tournament out at Utah. You know, they're putting the curtains down in the stadium so it didn't look empty. And now you can't get a ticket for $400. So it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing that, really.
And it keeps going because I have played for Caitlin Clark in the band 3 times. Did you know that?
No, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, you went up this year.
The alumni
fill in.
Yep.
Well, it's fantastic. And, of course, we continue to watch and we hope for an Iowa national championship for their women's team. Speaking of college, Quincy University Hawk Express Jazz Band has its Spring Jazz Showcase coming up this Sunday, April 7th at 3, and this is going to be at the Connie Nieman Center for Music at 18th and Seminary Road. Tell us a little bit about the jazz band's production.
They had me at Sing, Sing, Sing. That's one of my favorite
sing,
jazz tunes.
Sing, Sing, Sing.
Yeah, right? Don't you want to just get up and dance on that song?
Please? Everybody wants to dance, 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 dance when they hear sing, sing, sing.
Absolutely. So they're going to kick it jazz style out at Quincy University. The Hawk Express does a great job. Christine Dahm has really taken that organization up a notch and expanded their repertoire to not just classics like Sing, 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 but also modern pieces and you know, letting their musicians shine with the big solos. And it seems like you know, we're used to a saxophone player or a trumpet player taking a solo, but she'll have just about anybody on it. I think she really spreads the wealth on taking eight bars and making them your own. So this concert's, of course, free and open to the public. And it is at the Connie Nieman Center for Music. It's April 3rd at 3 p.m. And, yeah, highly recommended if you're a jazz fan.
Okay. The total eclipse will not hit Quincy. There will be a partial eclipse on Monday, April 8th, and it will start at approximately 1:30. Kids will be in school that day, and a lot of them will, of course, do things with their classes. But the Quincy Public Library has, for families and maybe homeschooled kids or kids that will be out that day for some reason, can come and safely view the solar eclipse. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that they'll be doing at that activity is making a pinhole viewer. So if you're not familiar, if you haven't been to an eclipse in recent history, you can make a viewer so you can see the shadow of the eclipse on the ground by just putting a pinhole in literally anything. In fact, even trees and leaves will make the shape onto the ground. So any kind of filtered light will catch the eclipse. They'll also have eclipse glasses. Of course, do not look at the sun. Quincy will not have a total eclipse, so you may not look at the sun here without your glasses at any point, even the most eclipse part. But the library is going to have education and cool. They've already pulled a whole stack of cool books about solar phenomenon, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you're around, check it out Monday, April 8th at 1:30 p.m.
The eclipse will last from about 1:30 to 3:30, and of course, we won't be in the path of totality, but we will get...
I will be.
You're going. Okay.
I'm going to Carbondale, baby.
Okay, yeah. You know, people wonder why that mound was built so near Carbondale. I think that they're in the path of totality more than some other
else?
Places. Yeah. They were in the path of totality the last time we had an eclipse in 2017.
Yeah.
So,
did you go to that one? Did you go see it?
No, I that's not something, well,
oh, it's so cool.
If it would come here. I mean, I went and looked. I viewed it with my special viewer here.
Right.
But I don't have to go to the place where there's a total eclipse. That's already the total eclipse of my heart. Okay. I want to talk about the Dogwood Royalty Contest because I know that's coming up. The deadline is April 10th, which is just around the corner. And this is something new this year. Your little daughter and son can be the prince and princess or king and queen of Dogwood. There's actually for royalty this year, and we're choosing them differently. Arts Quincy has taken over this process, and so it's all online.
It's all online,
so,
yeah.
So it's great. Tell us about it, please.
All you have to do is have your kiddo do a video of 60 to 90 seconds, just a short video, and have them talk about community. You know, it's a Star Wars-themed May the 4th be with you is the theme of the Dogwood, but just have them talk about what's it like to be a Quincyan and when you're 5 or 6. It should be cute. Don't overthink it. We're going for cute here. We have had a few folks have trouble with our uploader on the website. So if you have any trouble, give us a call at the office and we'll get you through it. It's got a 20 megabyte limit, and that's usually what we're running up against. Don't try to produce this thing. Don't take it into your computer and produce it. Well, that's not what we're going for. We're just looking for your kid shining about what it's what he likes about the way he likes about town.
May the 4th be with you, the power of community. So it's your children's definition of community, what your children likes about Quincy.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it, you know, something that's a PhD level dissertation on the greatness of Quincy. It's what they like.
One of the kids had a whole spiel about how much they like every place you can get tacos in Quincy, how many places you can get tacos. Man, that says community to me. I love it.
So it just has to be endearing.
Yes.
And a judge's panel will pick the king, the queen, the princess, and the prince, and they will ride in the Dogwood Parade. But again, you must have it uploaded by Wednesday, April 10th. Okay. I think we'll leave it at that. The other thing is pretty far down the road, and it's just for children. There is a children's play coming up at Quincy Community Theater, Lost Girl, What Happened to Wendy Darling After Peter Pan brought her back from Neverland. So we'll talk about that the next time we see you. Enjoy the total eclipse. And we will talk to the Boy Scouts after this quick break, 9:27. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're switching gears and talking about the Boy Scouts of America. Crystal Pitzer is here. She has made a return visit. And you know what? I put the K in your name because I'm so used to writing J.B. Pritzker. But it's not. You're Pitzer, and I pronounced it correctly. And we had this discussion before. If you have relatives down in Louisiana and Bowling Green, and so somewhere back along the line, my grandma and your grandma were probably very good friends or you're or married into whatever. And Devin Vetzel also joins us. Hi. So Devin is brand new. So let's introduce Devin to the crowd, okay? Welcome. You're not new to the area, but you're pretty new to Boy Scouting.
I am. Yes, I'm new to Boy Scouts. I started in March, so it's been really exciting. It's been fun.
Tell us a little bit about what you do in the area you serve.
So I am the new district executive. So I am a support person for our volunteers, and I really just kind of... I help with membership and growth, and that's kind of the broad
spectrum. You know, we think of Boy Scout executives as being men, but you work with a lot of women who are volunteers, and now that girls can join the Boy Scout movement, you call it Scouting USA, I guess.
Yep.
Are you official? What? You're still BSA.
Yeah, it's actually Scouts BSA.
Scouts BSA.
So they are Cub Scouts until they're about 11 years old, and then they cross over into what used to be Boy Scouts is now Scouts BSA.
Okay. This is going to take a while for this old brain to do this, but I've noticed just in my whereabouts around the schools that there are many schools now that don't have a Girl Scout troop at all. Everybody is a Scout.
Yes.
Which I always will say Boy Scout, but everybody's a Scout. So talk a little bit about that growth. Girls are joining in bigger numbers than every year before.
Yeah.
14%. We have about 14%.
Oh, go ahead. Don't just...
We have about 14% of a female population in our program, in our district, or I mean our service area. So you're thinking 13 counties, we have about 14% female membership.
That's pretty impressive. And obviously going and growing stronger. What are some of the challenges that face the Scout movement? I know, speaking as a lifetime Girl Scout member and former membership executive, just trying to find time to, you know, to get a troop leader, find time for somebody to volunteer, finding, you know, money for them to make sure they can have all their activities. Talk a little bit about some of the challenges that the Scouting movement faces, and maybe there might be some people out there who are listening who are getting close to retirement or have extra time on their hands. You'd love some people to take on some volunteer duties, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think there's room for everyone. We're, you know, in need of commissioners and some more volunteers to help us, like, keep the program going. I think that, you know, with the growth that I believe that we're going to have, especially with girls joining the Boy Scouts, I think that, you know, the more people that we can get involved, the better.
I think one of the biggest challenges, especially in this day and age, is the funding. You know, we're in a, inflation's big and it's hitting us all. And, you know, that's kind of where my job comes in, and that's where I try to raise that money and, you know, seek financial assistance and be able to offer financial assistance. Because as a council, we don't keep any of those registration fees. Those go straight to the national office. So one of my goals is to kind of try to help relieve that financial burden on families whenever they're registering by trying to reduce that fee that we have to send the national.
Okay, and that's critically important. And, of course, you do have fundraisers. I know that Ash Wednesday Fish Fry at my church is put on by the Scouts, and that's always great. And then, of course, I'm full of caramel popcorn and stuff like that, which is another fundraiser. But, again, you want to make sure every child, boy or girl, has a chance to do all the Scouting opportunities that they can, and that implies that adults are going to have to step up to the bat.
Absolutely.
And make that happen. We're going to take a break, step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the youth sporting clays and the sporting clays for adults and some of the other things that are coming up. We are just going to say that one of the big events we are going to talk about today is filled up.
Yeah.
So rather than tell you all about how wonderful it is and you'll just be sad you can't go, we'll just tell you next year, sign up early.
Yeah.
And maybe if they get more volunteers, next year they can double the number children that are participating. So we'll talk about that when we return. It is 9:36. The Ursa Farmers Cooperative brings you this report, and we're going to head up there. Rex Battery has got you covered. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Always fun when scouts get together. Crystal Pitzer is here and Devin Vessel, and they are in charge of all things Boy Scouts that have to do with our area. About 14% of scouting members in our wide region here in the Tri-States are now girls. So if you're out there listening, you think, wow, you know, I really can't take both kids both places all the time. Families can now join. And everybody can be in one scouting group. Let's talk about the Sporting Clays events that are coming up. The first one, I think, is May 8th. Do we still have openings for that?
Very few.
Okay.
So we brought Sporting Clays to Saukanuck about 2 years ago, our camp out in Minden. And last year, it exploded again, being our second year at Saukanuck. It's been an event that's been around for probably close to 30 years, used to be down at Heartland Lodge. Think golf with a shotgun. You know, they go through 18 stations instead of 18 holes and shoot different scenarios, hunting scenarios. You got double V, you know, spring and teal rabbit, or the clay bird jumps across the ground. They're, you know, over the water, in the woods, all kinds of different things. So it's pretty cool, and it's become pretty popular, as well as for the youth in the area.
So the adult event is May 8th, right?
Yes, May 8th, on a Wednesday.
And that's a fundraiser, obviously,
yes.
Opportunity. And you say it's right now it's pretty scarce to get a thing there. If they wanted to be involved in that, how could they get in touch with you?
If they just give us a call at the scout office, it's 217-224-0204. We can get them all signed up. They are teams of six. The cost is $175 for a shooter, or as a team of $1,050. And if you sign up soon, there's an early bird special where you get it for $1,000 for the team of six.
Okay. And the number again is 217-224-0204. Okay, six shooters on a team for $1,050, but call today. Wait, volume discount of only $1,000. And this is always so fun. And by moving it to Saukanuck, you've just been able to, you know, expand it and have more people be involved. Now let's talk about the youth sporting clays. What does that involve? Because is that something new?
Yes, this is brand new. Whenever I started in 2022, and I got to figure out what youth or adult sporting clays even was, because I knew trap, but I didn't know sporting clays. I really just wanted to open this course up for the youth, because we're a youth organization. So it's something that's kind of been my baby, and I've been working on it. And some days it's made me want to go home and cry, and other days I've been really excited. This is a team of four, and it is going to be 10 of our stations, since this is our inaugural event. And youth from ages 11 to 18 years old can participate, and they just have to bring either proof of their basic NRA shotgun training or hunter education, something that shows us, you know, hey, I'm safe and I know what I'm doing with a weapon. We will have a volunteer with them or a staff member with them running the course. So as soon as they come off that platform, they will hand that firearm to that volunteer to make sure that it is cleared and good for transport to the next station, because safety is our first priority. And then this one is a little bit different than the adult event, because as they enter as a team, They also enter as an individual, so they will be scored two ways. So they will have the opportunity to walk away with multiple prizes or awards.
So their team can win, but if they are exceptional, but they their shooting buddies aren't that great,
yep.
they can still win an individual prize. Well, you know, I mean, it's like that everywhere. You know, you have people you want to be on your team, and then you have people that you need to be on your team because I want to win the trophy. So this way you can have fun with your friends and still win the top prize if you are the top shooter. Now, obviously, four persons per team, this is not a fundraiser for the Boy Scouts. This is an activity for the Boy Scouts. So what are you charging?
This is going to be $400 per team. So it's $100 per shooter. Definitely a little bit different than the adult event. Obviously, there's things that we can't include with the youth event that we can with the adult, which is why the price is drastically decreased. They'll shoot about 100 shells that day. So, you know, that'll include the price of their birds whenever they shoot. That'll include the price of their lunch, any snacks, drinks, stuff like that, the whole entire day, and then the cost of rewards to hand out.
So it's basically it's just an event, and that's what the event costs.
Yes,
you know,
much.
I mean, these some of these things, a lot of things Boy Scouts do are free, and some things are not free. And if you have to shoot ammunition and have targets, that's obviously going to cost some money. So, how many teams can you have at maximum at four per team? How many teams can you have?
We can have up to 20 teams. We're trying to maybe kind of cap out about 10 to 15 the first year, just because, you know, it is the first year and we've done this with adults, but we don't necessarily need quite as many volunteers and moving parts with adults because
they're,
you know,
adults.
They're adults. Like, we love youth, but they still need a little bit extra guidance.
Absolutely, and you've got to have safety parameters and everything else. I know in scouting, there, you know, one adult for every X kids, and the younger they are, the more, you know, the more adults are, you know, you have to have. So this is for youth 11 to 18, four per team, $400 for a team entry. They'll shoot at 10 different stations, a variety of different kinds of shooting skills. Obviously, they have to provide their own weapon, or will there be a chance for them to get a firearm to use there?
They will provide their own firearm.
Okay.
anybody that is in the shooting sports community will have their own firearm, and they will prefer their own firearm. They will prefer their own shells more often than not. So they will provide their own firearm and their own shells, and then we take care of the rest.
Okay. Is this something that, in addition to this event on May 18th, is this something that kids do at camp ever, or is this just this event and it's held at camp, and obviously camp is closed to other activities that day, or is cordoned off so that this activity is not taking, because safety first, or is this something that can be offered like during summer camp?
This is actually, we actually have an entire shooting sports committee and program for summer camp. At both camp locations, at Camp Eastman and at Sauconock Scout Reservation. So this is, we have a rifle range, we have an archery range, we have a pistol range, we have a shotgun, which would be the shooting sports, or the sporting clay, sorry. So this is something that we offer in the program, which is why we kind of wanted to spin off and offer a community event as well. You know, we plan to take the funding that we get from, you know, both of these events and, you know, keep making this shooting sports program better and better for the youth, whether that's adding more stations to the courses or improving the stations or the ranges that we have, because, you know, they only last for so long. You know, just keep providing that program for the youth, teaching them safety, teaching them cleaning, how to clean the firearms. All that stuff is, I mean, very important skill that's needed.
Well, that's what scouting is all about, learning skills that will last a lifetime, finding out a hobby you may be interested in for the rest of your life, or maybe finding out, I don't like that, but that's okay, I tried it. You know, I did that, and I can say that I'm versed in that, but that's not something I particularly want to pursue. Crystal Pitzer and Devin Vessel are my guests today on the Mary Griffith Show. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how many people are involved in scouting now? What plans do they have for the summer? Is it too late for your kid to get involved? I know the answer to that is no. And and how would that happen? We'll talk more about scouting in just a moment. Remember, if you're a man and you want to be part of the adult event May 8th, Call the Boy Scout office today at 224-0204 and they'll get you in. And if you have a youth that likes to shoot, May 18th, circuit that on your calendar up at Saukanaw for the four-person team shooting clay sports. We are at 9:52, 8 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour, keeping you abreast of what's happening in our world. Locally, Crystal Pitzer and Devin Vessel are here from the Boy Scout Council, and their youth sporting clay event is on May 18th. This is the first year that they're going to be doing this, and so they hope to have possibly up to 20 teams. They'll be happy and think a good turnout is 10 to 15 teams. After all, you've got to start small. And then speaking of starting small and thinking tall, that's happened with the adult sporting clay event, which is May 8th at Saukanaw. And there's just very, very few seats left in that. So get your team of six men up for $1,050. You can be part of that, which, of course, the proceeds benefit the Boy Scout movement and the scouting movement here. How many scouts do you have registered as youth, and in what geographic area? Again, give us those boundaries.
We have about 1,300
youth. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the geographic boundaries, we cover 13 counties. So
okay.
We're all the way from Des Moines County, Iowa, all the way down to Pike County, Illinois, and over into Clark County, Missouri, even.
And have you seen, I know COVID was kind of a devastation for a lot of things. Have you seen numbers rebound? Are we growing? Are we holding steady? What's happening as far as membership goes?
It's a fluid thing. You know, National has raised the prices. You know, one good thing National did was they took away this $25 one-time new registration, fee that they had
to process everybody
yeah.
in the computer system,
and that they took that away this year, and that helps significantly. So we went from 105 to down to 85. The other thing that they did that I believe is a positive, only it's just been a headache on the backside of things, is they took away proration. So whenever you sign up in April, your membership is good all the way until the following April. Versus if you sign up in April, you would just pay until December and then start over. So it's the proration thing is a good thing. You
can join any time, and it's a 12-month membership,
yes.
Not a calendar year membership,
yes.
Or a school year membership. Okay.
Yep.
So they're working it out. They're figuring it out. And as far as locally, obviously, you've got to serve these people with staff and with adult volunteers. And, you know, nationwide, is membership going up or down, or has it, I mean, COVID was such a strange thing. It's really hard to get a trend because, you know, you had a trend going for 5, 10, 15 years. Now, all of a sudden, you've got 2 years there where just, it skewed everything ridiculous. So mm-hmm. You almost have to start over again. So I guess you can only compare it to maybe a year ago.
Yeah, and I'll take this too because Devin's still pretty new. It's a fluid thing. There is areas that we do see some growth. There's some areas that we're not seeing growth. And that I 100% believe that that's mainly to do with the funding and the cost of the program. You know, you got to think back in the 90s whenever, you know, I was growing up, it was like $5 for a year to, you know, join for the entire year. And now you're thinking $85. So that's kind of where we come in, and we're trying to, you know, reduce that.
Right. You're trying to get private donors to subsidize that for children who can't afford that $85 lift. Of course, speaking as a former Girl Scout executive, I will tell you that, yes, that money may go to the national organization, but that's where your handbooks come from. That's where your standards come from. That's where they say to be an Eagle Scout, it's the same in New York City and mm-hmm. Los Angeles as it is in Pittsfield, Illinois. The standards are the same. The uniforms are the same. Everything is uniform.
Yep.
And there's an advantage to being part of a national organization and having that stand by you. Eagle Scout is still something that a lot of people aspire to. Boy, it's tough, though, because about the time that they're going to become Eagle Scouts, they discover girls and other things. And that's why it is so rare when somebody does get their Eagle Scout.
It is. It's a very, it's a coveted position for sure. It takes a lot of work. You need there. I mean, there's, you're not just earning merit badges to become an Eagle. You have to plan a community betterment project. Not only do you have to plan it, you have to present it, you have to complete it. You have to fund it. So they have to raise their funding for that separately from anything that we do as a council. So that's them going out and hitting the ground and asking people for funding and businesses for funding. For instance, we had a young man who completed a project outside of the Central Fire Station not very long ago for fallen firefighter Steve Pizzella. And he worked on that project endlessly. He made the bench around the tree, and he planted, and he put the rock in, and all of that stuff for that project, working with Bergman's Nurseries to get some of those things donated and other area donors to fund that project. And then, you know, once that's done, you still have to go and face an Eagle Board of Review and, you know, explain your aspirations and things that you want to do in the future. And, you know, it's a lengthy process. And you're right. Sometimes once they find girls and once they find boys, they kind of want to stop doing it. But we actually are not seeing a decrease in those.
That's good. That's good.
We had 27 last year for 2023. And actually in Adams County, we had our first female. And actually in Adams County, we had 3 last year.
That is fantastic. So. That is fantastic. And I know I was just reading in my diocesan book that there is a Father Tolton badge or something, something you can earn now. So there's always something coming out to help our local community. Call the Boy Scouts today at 224-0204 for membership information. You can join anytime, and they would love to have you. Thank you so very much, ladies.